Well, we are back again. Another week of pioneering. Come on, somebody say, I am a pioneer. Type it right there in the chat box. I am a pioneer. We're doing the series on pioneering. We're talking about pioneering and the new things that God is doing and where he's taking us. And I'm just really excited today to bring another word to you about pioneering in this season, pioneering and going into the new things that God is taking us into. Let's get your Bibles and let's dive into the Word of God. A quick reminder, what is a pioneer? A pioneer is a person who is among those who first enters or settles a region, thus opening up for occupation or development by others. It's people who go in first and make a way for others. A pioneer is a first or among the earliest in a field of inquiry, enterprise, or progress. For example, a pioneer in medicine. God is calling us to be pioneers in things of the Spirit, pioneers in prayer, pioneers in building an altar where he is enthroned. Another example of pioneers, it's a group of foot soldiers detailed to make roads and entrenchments to advance the main body. God is calling us, and we have the heart to say, hey, we want to push into some things, not just for us, but for the body of Christ. And when I say that, I don't mean it in a kind of a triumphal way where it's like, yes, we're going to make a way for the body of Christ. No, I'm talking about a servant attitude that just says, you know what, we're going to push into some things, but we're not just trying to keep it to ourselves. We will share it with anyone who's interested. Will we pay the price in him to go into some things to help others get there as well? And then finally, pioneer and from ecology is an organism that successfully establishes itself in a barren area, thus starting an ecological cycle of life. We are in a barren land. We are in a wilderness spiritually, but God is calling us to pioneer in life. And God is calling us to, in our lives and in our church family, to pioneer and to speak life, to raise up the life of God manifested. Why? Because people need it. We're in a barren Andes. It is time to pioneer. We are called to pioneer. Come on, somebody say, I am a pioneer. Type it in that chat box. I am a pioneer. We've also been focusing from Isaiah 43:18-19 and talking about God doing new things. It says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. That is a word of the Lord over this season. He is doing a new thing. It is springing forth, but we need to be those who perceive it. That's part of why we're gathering in this context, to perceive and to hear what God is saying. And then he is making a way in the wilderness. He is making rivers in the desert. We might be in a barren land, but he is making rivers in that desert. And he is making a way in the wilderness for us. We just have to see that he's doing a new thing, and we have to say yes to him. Yo, I'm so excited even about what we're stepping into here as a church family. Obviously, we are continuing with these online gatherings, and I or a number of members of our team or a special guest will be bringing the word of the Lord every week. We still have connections. Make sure you are getting connected. Connections in this church family are not meant to be a secondary side option if you have time. No, we want to be committed to a spiritual lifestyle of community, and we want to be committed to meet in the temple and from house to house. We are continuing different classes, and there's different things we've been telling you about that you can get involved in. Get plugged into those classes. Get plugged into what's happening. And then obviously, we've been doing our gatherings, and we're starting in this season where we're coming together to seek the Lord. And yes, we're taking care of details. We're going to be following all the health protocols. We are going to make sure that we're doing this with wisdom, but it is time for us to seek the Lord. When he said, seek my face, my heart said, your face I'll seek. And so we have an opportunity to get the word, to keep growing, to keep connecting, but we're coming together to seek the face of God. We're coming together to seek the presence of God. And so I want to encourage you, let's just dive into this season. It is not a time for consumer-based, cream puff, Christianity-like, but it is time for us to go deeper. It's time for us to go further. We are pioneers in what God's doing. And I speak that once again. I declare that over your spirit, over your life. You are a pioneer in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody say it again. I'm a pioneer. Type it again. I am a pioneer. And so as we've said, our core text really for all of this is God said, to go forward, you got to look back. And again, we're going into something new. We're not trying to find we're not trying to look back for the format, but we're looking for the DNA. because the DNA will always manifest in new ways and new seasons, but you got to hold on to the DNA. And so we've been going to Acts 2, 42 to 47, because this were the original pioneers. This was when the church was first pioneered. So as we are pioneering in this season and we're picking up the DNA, we want to go back to the first pioneers because they would have blazed a trail. Again, it's going to be different, but the DNA is the same. So let's look at Acts 2, 42 to 47. It says, and they devoted themselves. A couple weeks ago, we talked about devotion and the power of devotion, that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And so as you know, over the last couple of weeks, we've been starting to break down this passage to look for those different DNA pieces of being a pioneer. As I mentioned, we talked a couple of weeks ago about the power of devotion, and that as a pioneer, you have to be devoted to what you're doing. As a church family that are going to pioneer, we have to be devoted to Jesus, to his purposes, to his kingdom. Last week, we spent some time and connected with Healing School Sunday, where we talked about the fact that there were wonders and signs being done through the apostles. We talked about pioneering in power. Then the early church, they walked in the power of God. And we cannot afford in this day and age to be a powerless church. This week, I want to talk about pioneering in another element, and it also is going to be brought to you by the letter P. And I want to talk to you about pioneering in prayer. If we are going to pioneer, family, we must lead the way in prayer. The first realm or the first place that we will pioneer in the things of the Spirit is we are going to pioneer in the place of prayer. And if we will not learn how to pioneer in the place of prayer, if we will not learn to be a church family that is a praying church, we will talk about pioneering. We will make great slogans about pioneering. We can do great campaigns around pioneering. But unless we pray, we are never actually really going to be pioneering. Why? Because pioneering first happens in the place of prayer. Come on, somebody say it where you are right now. Say, pioneering first happens in the place of prayer. It's a little longer, but if you're good on the keys, get it typed in there in the chat box as well. Pioneering is going to happen in the place of prayer. And I want to talk to you about pioneering in prayer. S.D. Gordon, who is a great man of faith, a man of God who's with the Lord now, but he said this. He said, the real victory in all service is won in secret beforehand by prayer. Remember last week in Healing School Sunday, we were talking about Bill Johnson sharing how they pioneered in the healing anointing. And one of the things that he said was that you cry out in the secret place, right? He was talking about pioneering in prayer. And so S.D. Gordon was on to something here. And if you talk to any great man or woman of God, you talk to any church family that's made a difference, they will tell you somewhere in their story, even if maybe you have to dig a little bit, you're going to see they pioneered in prayer. I know the Brownsville revival, for example, comes to mind. If you're not familiar with it, go study it. It was an incredible revival out of Brownsville, Florida that started actually on Father's Day in, I think it was 1994 or 1995, somewhere in that range. Was it 96? Somewhere in the mid-90s. Forgive me, I should know that date right off the top of my head. But they as a church, if you study their story, they'd been praying for months. And they'd been praying for revival. They'd been praying for move of God. See, if we're going to pioneer, we have to lead the way in prayer. The real victory, as S.D. Gordon says, in all services, won in secret beforehand by prayer. Another thing he said here, prayer is striking the winning blow. And then service is gathering up the results. Somebody say it again. We will pioneer in prayer. Guys, no prayer, no pioneering. But if we want to pioneer, we'll be a people of prayer. I want to go just through the scriptures because we're talking about the early church, right? And we're talking about the DNA of the early church. Let's look even in the early church. And I want to just take some time. I want to actually look at pioneering in prayer and how this happened in the early church. Let's start in Acts chapter 1. We're just going to go on a bit of a journey here because here's what I want you. I'll let you know right off the top. Prayer is all through the book of Acts. Prayer was not a side issue for the early church. Prayer was not an afterthought for the early church. Prayer was the furnace that drove everything else. And I think one of the challenges that we've got to guard against, one of the challenges that as churches we can fall into, is we can fall into the trap of prayer being an afterthought instead of prayer being our priority. Is prayer your afterthought, or is prayer your priority? Because it's going to make all the difference in the world in the things of God. It's going to make all the difference in the world in pioneering, if prayer is our afterthought or is prayer our priority. My prayer is that prayer would be our priority. And if we're going to pioneer, prayer has to be our priority. Amen. Come on, somebody say prayer is our priority. Type it in that chat box. All right, Acts 1 verse 8. Let's start right in the beginning of the book of Acts. And Jesus said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. This is before he ascended into heaven. So he's talking to them about power. He's talking to them about being witnesses. He's talking about the Holy Spirit coming. So what do they do? What do they do to respond to this word? Just as the same way in this season, we're getting a word from God that's saying, I'm doing a new thing. I'm going to make rivers in the desert. I'm going to make a way in the wilderness. I'm calling you to step into the revival and the outpouring and the Jesus awakening that I've destined you for. And he said that. We have that word. We will receive power when the Holy Spirit's come on. What did they do? Acts 1:14, it tells us what they did. It says, and all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. They were devoting themselves. Look, there's that word again. Devoted. They were devoting themselves to prayer. That is how they responded to the word of the Lord. They did not just go, oh, that's nice. Let me keep that in my iPhone and go back and listen to it every once in a while. Yo, Pastor Sharon has some amazing teaching that she shares in School of the Spirit about our prophetic responsibility when we receive words from the Lord. That it's not enough just to get it, but we have a responsibility to take it, to process it, and to hear the Holy Spirit on how we walk it out. And oftentimes there are prophetic words that were from God, that were correct, but they never come to pass because we do not receive them and we do not walk in them the way we need to. Right? And so here we have the power of God. They get this word from Jesus, but they don't just keep on their iPhone and go, oh, that's nice. Okay, let's go back to life as usual. No, they devoted themselves to prayer. Will we be a church family in this season that doesn't just hear words and go, that's nice, but will we actually be a church family that will devote ourselves to prayer, that will devote ourselves to being in the presence of God? That's why we're doing the gatherings the way we're doing them. I'm going to still be here coming with the word to everyone, literally wherever they are in the world, because we're believing God to touch the world and we're going to bring the word. But when we come together, we're coming together to seek his face. We're coming together to build a house of prayer, to build a tabernacle of David, to build an altar for the fire to fall. That we are coming together. Why? Because we're saying we're not just going to have a word, but we're going to pray into this word and we're going to believe this word. That's what they did. And you know what else is interesting though? That the Bible says that Jesus spoke to over 500 people and appeared to over 500 before he left. But we get a little further in the book of Acts, we only find 120 were left in the upper room. What happened to the other 380? The Bible's not clear. We don't know for sure. We just know that on the day of Pentecost, they weren't there. Did they start strong but never finish? Did they feel like, well, you know, I got a lot of this stuff going on in my life and a lot of stuff's busy, so I'm not gonna devote myself to this. And then they were not there. I mean, can you imagine? There must have been some people who are kicking themselves because they're like, I was supposed to be there. I was supposed to be in the upper room and the Holy Spirit was poured out, but I slept in. Or I was supposed to be there, but I was too busy with things that don't matter. I missed history. I missed history in the making because maybe some people are just like, well, I just don't really like praying very much. It's not really my thing, right? And please hear me. I'm not saying any of this even to try and pressure people that you got to come together physically. You go on a journey and you figure out when you're ready. Trust me, we're doing everything with highest of safety. I feel fully confident that you can come together with us very safely. But I'm not saying that. I'm just talking about our spirit. I'm talking about our spirit and our heart that says we're going to seek God. I mean, even if you physically can't come together right now, you can seek God right where you are. You can be before God and be in his presence. And so we see this, their response to the word of the Lord and their response to the promise of the Holy Spirit was to go to the place of prayer. How many promises have we missed out because we didn't go to the place of prayer over those promises? Right? If we're going to pioneer, we've got to pioneer in prayer. Promises alone are not enough to pioneer. We have to pioneer in the place of prayer. And that's what God's doing us. And so that's Acts chapter 1. Now, we jump ahead to Acts chapter 2. And we see here that when the day of Pentecost arrived, it says they were all together in one place. And if you read on, that's when the Holy Spirit was poured out. They began to speak in other tongues. What were they doing when they're all together in one place? Well, we know from Acts chapter 1, they were in a place of prayer. They were together in prayer, in unity, seeking God. And I think today, I just want to encourage you, and I want to point out something. I want to point out that the church was not birthed in a strategic planning meeting. Now, I'm all for strategic planning meetings. I love strategic planning. I probably like it a little too much. I like it a whole lot more than most people do. But I want you to know, I'm not saying strategic planning is not important, but the church was not birthed in a strategic planning meeting. The church was not birthed in a worship meeting. I love worship. I love worshiping God. I'm thankful for the movement of worship across the earth today, but that was not what birthed the church. Furthermore, I want to encourage you that the church was not birthed out of evangelism. Evangelistic meeting. Hear me in this, guys. Yes, an evangelistic meeting when Peter preached came very soon afterwards, but the church was birthed in the place of prayer. This ecclesia, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, was not just out of strategic planning, was not just out of cool preaching and cool programming and all these things. It was not just out of worship or evangelism, although I'm not taking away from any of these things. But what I'm saying is the foundation was prayer. And how often are we trying to see his church built on all these other factors instead of in the place of prayer? Could it be that even in this season, God is calling us back to the simplicity of New Testament Christianity? Could it be that God is calling us back to a place of prayer and saying prayer should not be the afterthought, but prayer has to be the foundation? If it started with prayer, why would we ever get away from prayer? If we look at the ministry of Jesus and he, God in the flesh, was a man of prayer, how do we feel that we can get by without being people of prayer? We can't. And so it's this call to come back to our roots, to come back to our foundations, and to pioneer in the place of prayer. Come on, somebody say, I'm going to pioneer in prayer. Type that in that chat box. Make that declaration. Come on, cap it. Put those exclamation marks on it. I am going to pioneer in a place of prayer. Now, some might say, okay, well, does it stop there? No, it doesn't. Let's keep reading here. Let's go to Acts chapter 3, verse 1. It says, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. Now, if we read on this passage, this is where they saw the lame man at the gate of the temple. And he was looking at them, asking for something. And Peter said to him, that famous refrain, silver and gold have I none. I'll go King James on you. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man rose up and walked. And we used to sing a Sunday school song when I was a kid. And he went running and jumping and leaping and praising God. And we'd jump and leap around the room praising God. But yeah, incredible miracle. But where did it start? Right? Incredible miracle. It started when Peter and John were on their way to pray. Now, obviously, it didn't happen out of the prayer meeting. It happened on the way into the prayer meeting. But what this says to me was they regularly were involved in prayer. And if you study out, you'll understand that. It was the time of prayer. It was the ninth hour, which was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. There was regular times of prayer. These guys were devoted to prayer. It was not just, and I've just realized, it's not just a once-a-month meeting that maybe I go to every once in a while. It was a daily thing for them. They were given to prayer. And God is calling us. It's one of the reasons why we're shifting some things and we're re-examining even what we're doing as a church family this season, because in the day and age that we are stepping into and the things that are going to be coming in the next number of years, it is the praying church that is going to thrive. It's the praying church that's going to be strong. Prayer cannot be an afterthought. It has to be the priority. Come on, say it again. Prayer has to be the priority. Prayer is the priority. So that's Acts chapter 3. Incredible miracle. Very much connected to believers who are praying. Let's go to Acts chapter 4. And we'll look at verse 23 to 31. So they healed the man. They ended up preaching. The chief priests and the leaders ended up bringing them in. And they basically ended up threatening them. And they were threatening them about no longer declaring the name of Jesus. Not. And so verse Acts chapter 4, let's look what happened. They've been threatened. They've been, you know, like the conflict's happening. They're facing persecution. At verse 23, it says they were arrested. It says when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in it, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why do the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? And the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers are gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with great boldness. That was a little longer, but here's what I want you to see. They started in prayer. They were continuing in prayer. They start to face persecution. They start to face a challenge. They are threatened. And what do they go back and do? Do they go back and just zone out because it's been a hard day and I'm going to zone out on Facebook or Netflix? I'm going to binge watch something? No, they went back and what did they do? They prayed. They lifted their voices to God. See, what I want us to see today is this DNA thing in the early church was no matter what happened, they're praying. They're seeking God, they prayed. Things are going good, they're praying. They're seeing miracles, they're praying. They're facing persecution, they come back together and they pray and they call out the name of God. And it says, and when they prayed, the place they had gathered together was shaken and they're filled with the Holy Spirit and continue to speak the word of God with great boldness. Could it be that the strength and the boldness and the power that we know we should be walking in is connected to our heart and our willingness to go deep in the place of prayer? Come on, somebody say it. Come on, somebody type it. We are pioneering in prayer. Acts 6 verse 4, let's look through a few more verses. It says, this is in the context now where the apostles and the spiritual leaders in the church were getting bogged down trying to handle administrative duties. And so they set aside some men and some teams who were going to lead in this area. And Acts 6 verse 4, they said, this is what we're going to do. We will devote, come on, there's that word again, the word devotion. We will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. They were devoted to prayer. Are you devoted to prayer? Are we devoted to prayer? That is where God's calling us. That's where God's taking us. That is the way we're going to pioneer forward in this season. We are going to pioneer in the place of prayer. Let's go to Acts 9, 10 to 12. We just got some more verses. I just want you to see this in the early church. Acts 9, 10 to 12, it says, now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, rise and go to a street called Straight. And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so that he might regain his sight. Again, this is now the story of the conversion of Saul when he became Paul. He met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Jesus was so glorious and so, and he was struck blind for 3 days and he's there. But what was he doing? He was praying. Guys, the conversion, the ministry of Paul was birthed out of a place of prayer. Yes, it was birthed out of being knocked off his horse by Jesus flat on his back. Yes, it was birthed about this encounter with God, but it was birthed in the place of prayer. This is so significant. What does God want to birth through praying people? What does he want to birth in your life if you'll just go to the place of prayer? Acts 9, 40 to 42. This is back into the ministry of Peter. It says, but Peter put them all outside and he knelt down and prayed and turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. This was a saint, Tabitha. She had died. But I love it. He followed Jesus. Remember Jesus did that with the young girl? He put them out and he got down and he prayed. What does God want to raise up in this day? Because there'll be people who pray. What kind of resurrection power does he want to release? It could be literal. It could be figuratively. But there is resurrection power and life that is needed in this day. And he is looking for those who are going to pray. Who are going to say, I'm going to give myself to pray. And it says, she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up. And then calling all the saints eunuchs and widows. He presented her alive and became known through all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Guys, I could take you to Acts 10, verse 1 and 2, when the gospel goes to the Gentiles and Cornelius. It says here, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of the Italian cohort, who was a devout man, devoted, who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to all the people, generosity, and prayed continually to God. Who was the man who was the open door for the gospel going to the Gentiles? That's the reason it got to us. It was because of a man of prayer. Who will be a Cornelius who will go into a place of prayer so God could use your life as a door to open up into whole new realms for other people? And it's interesting because he's a man of prayer and God speaks to him. And then God goes to Peter further on this chapter, verse 9 and 10. And it says, the next day as they're on the journey and approach the city, Peter went up a housetop about the sixth hour to do what? To chill? To watch Netflix? To binge watch? To scroll on Instagram? No, he went on the roof to do what? To pray. And then this is where the vision is released. Is there visions and revelation that God says, I have for you, but it's going to come in the place of prayer. It's going to come in the place of not binge watching, but in being before the Holy Spirit. Instead of being on Facebook, it's seeking his face and the book. I mean, whatever it is, it's saying we are going to seek his face. What does he want to release? What does he want to bring forward? But he's saying, will you go there in prayer? Somebody say, I'm going to pioneer in prayer. I could take you to Acts chapter 12, verse 5, where Peter was thrown in prison. James had already been killed. Peter was thrown in prison. Herod wanted to do the same thing to him. But it says, but Peter was in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church, and he was supernaturally delivered. I could take you into Acts 13, 1 to 3, when they're now at the church in Antioch. And God says, it says, and there were teachers, prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Mananean, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they're worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. The very birthing, Paul was birthed in prayer, but now his missionary journeys. His new level of ministry was, again, not a strategic planning meeting, not just a kind of, well, let's just get all this. It was a prayer meeting that they were raised up. They were fasting. They were praying. They were ministering to the Lord. They were worshiping him. They were going in there, and that's where it was released from. Guys, we could just keep going. Acts 14, 22 to 23. It says, strengthening the souls of the disciples. This was in Paul's ministry. They encouraged them to continue in the faith and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed in the Lord in whom they had believed. They committed them. Prayer, fasting. It's all through the early church. We could go, come on, I get in Acts 16, 24 to 26, when Paul and Silas were thrown into prison and they were beaten and they were persecuted and they're there. But verse 25, it says, actually 16, 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everybody's bonds were unfastened. Come on, you've been persecuted. You've been beaten. Your back is raw and it's bleeding. I don't know about you. My temptation would be, I'm done for tonight. I've had enough. But Paul and Silas were there praising and praying and singing unto God. And because they were praising and because they were praying, all of a sudden an earthquake came and it shook the foundations of the prison and it broke the chains of every person that was in that place. Guys, what if God is looking for some Pauls and some Silases who, even in the middle of their challenges, their trials, and their difficulties, will commit to be the people of prayer? What prisons does God want to shake? What chains does God want to break? What does God want to break open if he can just find some Pauls and some Silases who are saying, no matter the circumstances, even if it's late in the midnight hour, I know that my God is going to turn this around and I'm going to give myself to a place of prayer. Shout out Fred Hammond. All right, and then Acts 20, 36. And when he had said all these things, he knelt down and he prayed with them all. Guys, we could go over passages after passage after passage. We see this in prayer. If we were to continue through the writings of the New Testament, if we were to look at Romans, we would see the power of prayer. If we were to look at 1 and 2 Corinthians, trust me, you are going to see the commitment and the devotion to prayer. If you look at Ephesians, Philippians, 1 and 2 Timothy, you look at Hebrews, you look at 1 and 2, I mean, you look at every book. I'm not going to list them all right now. You will see the priority of prayer. You will see the power of prayer. And you will see that anyone who is going to pioneer is going to need to do it in the place of prayer. Oswald Sanders, in his writing Dynamic Spiritual Leadership, said this about Paul. He said, "It is obvious that Paul did not regard prayer as supplemental, but as fundamental. Not something to be added to his work, but the very matrix out of which his work was born. He was a man of action because he was a man of prayer." Catch that. I'll say that again. He was a man of action because he was a man of prayer. It was probably his prayers, even more than his preaching, that produced the kind of leaders we meet in his letters. I'd encourage you, just do a study on the prayers of Paul. He prayed for Timothy. He prayed for Titus. He prayed for believers. I mean, it's all through there, his prayers. Corrie ten Boom, a great voice in Christianity. She said this. She said, "Is prayer your steering wheel or is it your spare tire?" And I think that's just such a beautiful picture, a convicting one, because for many of us, prayer truly is our spare tire. I don't know where your spare tire is in your car. In my car, it's in the back, under the trunk, and I only go there if I absolutely need to. Is that what prayer is like for you? Is it your spare tire? Is it something that you just hope can bail you out of a tough situation? Or is prayer literally your steering wheel? Is it literally the foundation? It was for Paul. It's not supplementary for him, but it was fundamental. It was for each one of us. Is prayer a afterthought or is prayer a priority? Because pioneers prioritize prayer. Family, if we are going to pioneer, we must do it in prayer. We must humbly recognize that there has to be a change. If prayer has been our spare tire, if prayer has been the spare tire for our church, where a very small percentage of our church family are active in prayer, that means for Toronto City Church, if we're like that, that means prayer is a spare tire. Let's change it. Let's make it our steering wheel in this season. It's part of even why we're gathering the way we're gathering and why we're prioritizing some of the things we're prioritizing, because prayer is going to be our steering wheel in Jesus' name. A couple more quotes that I love just to share with you this year. Samuel Chadwick said this, "The one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, and prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray." Isn't that so good? I also was very struck by this quote from Pastor David Yonggi Cho. He was the pastor of the largest church in the history of the world, I think. I think they cracked 1 million members in Seoul, Korea. But he said this. He said, "You could remove the powerful preaching from our church, and it would still continue. You could remove the administration of pastoral care through the cell group system and the church would still continue. But if you remove the prayer life of our church, it would collapse." I heard him say in another context that he said many people came from around the world to our church and they understood the power of cell groups because they really were the church that pioneered this whole idea of small groups in many ways. He said, but what many missed, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, he said they got the small groups, but they missed the prayer. And really, the foundation of what we do is prayer. Will we let God work in us as a church family that we could truly say prayer is our foundation? That we could say prayer is our priority in our lives personally, also in us corporately? Where we could say prayer is not our spare tire, but prayer truly is our steering wheel. That prayer is not something that's supplemental, but it's something that's fundamental. It's not something that is added to our work, but it's the very matrix out of which our work is born. I am being convicted myself, guys, as I share this and as I read this, because I know God is calling me to a deeper place of prayer. Mark 11:17, and I'll close with this, says, "And he was teaching them and saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations?" This is a word that is over our church family. It's actually on a plaque in the hallway. If when you can't get back here and get into the facilities, it's right there that we will be a house of prayer for all nations. And so it's time for this to move in a new way. And I'm not taking away over the last 30, you know, whatever number of years now that we have been. I think we're at 32, I think, if I get my numbers correctly here. The last 30, I'm not taking it because we have what we have because of prayer. Pastor Paul and Elaine from the beginning laid a foundation of prayer in this church family. But I believe as we're coming into a new season and there's a fresh call to pioneer, that we have to go deeper in the place of prayer, that we have to step in a new way into this call to be a house of prayer for all nations. This is not a house made of physical material, but it's a house that's made of living stones. And the way you become a house of prayer for all nations is when every living stone, you and I, all of us together, we are praying people that gather together to be a praying church. If we are going to pioneer, if we are going to walk out this season of what God's called us to, we must pioneer in prayer. Somebody say it one last time before I close. I am going to pioneer in prayer. Come on, tell your neighbor, we are going to pioneer in prayer. Somebody type it in the chat box right now. We are going to pioneer in the place of prayer in Jesus' name. And if you agree with me right now, give me a great big amen. Amen. All right. God bless you. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. I ask really simply today, God, I pray that prayer would not be our spare tire any longer, but it would be our steering wheel, that you're teaching us how to walk in this. You're challenging us to walk in this, but we are going to be people who say yes. And so we just release this over each one of us. And even as we continue to gather and grow and move forward in this season, God, that we are moving in the place of prayer in Jesus' name. Everyone agreed, said, amen. Awesome. Well, as always, it's been great to be with you. Before I go, I need to give an opportunity, as we do every week, if there's anyone watching this who has not right with God. The Bible teaches us that God loves us with an everlasting love, but we've been separated from that love because of sin. Because we have sinned. I'm not pointing the finger at you. I'm talking about me too. We all were separated from God. We deserve punishment. We deserve judgment. Now Jesus came, he died, and he rose again to bring us back to the Father, to break down the dividing wall between us. But we still have to make a decision to say yes. There is forgiveness for us. We can have eternal life. Because we are separate, we deserved eternal judgment. But Jesus said, I'm going to take that on myself and I'm going to give you my eternal life. But we have to make a decision to turn our back on sin and commit our lives to him. And so I just want to encourage, as we're closing day, if there's anybody watching this and you know you need to give your life to Christ, you need to give your life back to him, today is your day. I've said this many times, but the devil doesn't need to get you to say no to Jesus. He just needs to get you to say not today enough times. Stop it. Make a decision today. Make a commitment. Say, I'm going to give my life to Christ. And so if that's you, I want you to pray this along with me. It's a simple prayer, but I want you to pray it from the heart. Say, Jesus, I thank you for your love for me. Thank you that you died for me. Thank you that you rose again. Sorry, I went a little faster. Just repeat what I was saying. Today, I turn my back on sin. I commit my life to you. You are my Lord. I believe God raised you from the dead. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for welcoming me into your family. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, if you prayed that prayer, here's what I want to ask. We've got a link coming up. Can you click on that link? Can you let us know that you prayed that prayer? We want to back you up. We want to support you. And we want to encourage you as you walk this out. Amen. So God bless you. It's been great to be with you today. So much going on in church family. Make sure you're checking out the website. Stay up to date. If you have any questions, any concerns, contact us. We're moving forward this season together. We're pioneering. We're walking into new things God's doing. He's doing a new thing, but we are perceiving it and we're walking it in the name of Jesus. Amen? Come on, just before you go, one last time, say, I am pioneering in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys.